Well, hello there, my friends, and welcome back. My name is Stephanie Safarian, and you're listening to episode 455 of Sustainable Minimalist. This is a show about intentional and eco-friendly minimalist living. And on today's show, we are once and for all covering a topic that I have wanted to cover for years. Years. Yes, that's right. We are attempting to decide whether we can have children and nice stuff. The answer is yes. And so we're going to get into how. How can both coexist? This show is for parents, obviously, but it's also for those of us who may have children, are thinking about children, are expecting children. When I was newly married and thinking about children, I didn't also think about home decor. I had the picture in my mind of an effortlessly chic home, well-behaved children, nothing out of place. Children were just born knowing how to respect our home. I know, I was living on another planet, clearly. But if you have children or grandchildren, you know this imaginary scene is almost never a reality. The scenes that we are fed on television, on social media, of family life, they're comical, right? They're comical precisely because they are so far off the mark. They're so far from reality. And so today's show is for the parents, the expectant parents, but also the grandparents, because I want to hear from you. I'm willing to bet that you have achieved the perspective that so many of us parents of young children and expectant parents have yet to achieve. So this show's for everybody today. And before we start, let me just say real quick, this show has moved to a listener-supported model, the way of doing things the old way in which podcasts were funded by brands in the form of airing ads. That's no longer sustainable for podcasters, especially podcasters like me, a non-celebrity who talks about a niche topic, right? Now, of course, if money's tight and you cannot support the show at this moment, I do believe that the content should stay free and accessible to all. So no worries, keep on listening. Perhaps you reevaluate in the future, and perhaps in the meantime, you support the show in free ways, like telling a friend about it, like leaving a review, like sharing on social media. Those are all great free ways to support the show. And for everybody else, if $5 a month is not a heavy lift for you, because let's be real, $5 is a pack of gum. It's a pack of gum. So if you can afford a pack of gum, please consider becoming a monthly supporter of this show. You're literally keeping the show going. And that's not hyperbole. If it wasn't for you, this show would shutter up and say goodbye. Supporters get a ridiculous amount of bonuses, ad-free episodes, extended episodes, and book club. Those are the big ones. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, it's as easy as opting in to the subscriber option and then emailing me, my email's in the show notes, with your email so I can put you on the book club list. That's it. If you don't listen on Apple Podcasts, there's a Substack link in the show notes. You can just subscribe there. And thank you so much. You're making it possible that this work continues. So thank you really and truly. All right, now let's get on to the episode. Can we have kids and nice things? Well, guess what? They don't really mix, do they? A pleasing aesthetic, a pleasing home aesthetic is lovely. However, that pleasing home aesthetic for so many of us with children is likely hampered by unbridled chaos and mess associated with small children. So what's the right call? Do we go all in on aesthetics and make this pristine catalog-like home at the expense of our own wellness and our children's wellness and our parenting, right? Because you already know, to maintain that beautiful catalog-worthy home aesthetic, it requires an awful lot of work, an awful lot of stress, an awful lot of white-knuckle gripping the tidiness of the home. But then the other extreme is, of course, to throw your hands up, not care about the state of your home. I'm not sure that's the right choice either. And then, too, there's the renovation question. I am at a point in my life where a lot of my friends and peers are renovating. So they're adding an addition or they're, I don't know, getting rid of their popcorn ceilings and repainting and replacing the baseboards and just erasing memories of, you know, children, young children ever having lived there. Is renovating the right choice? And if so, when? How old do the kids need to be that we can confidently renovate and feel with some degree of certainty that the children are not going to then ruin what we just renovated? We're trying to hit all of those topics today. So I have some thoughts. And the first thought is a reminder. None of us listening right now should have to wait 18 years to be content in our homes. We shouldn't have to wait. Life is for the living, and we are living right now. This moment is all we have. So I'm going to table that for a second. And I'm going to mention some interesting research I found with regard to hospitals. Research that studies the hospital environment does find that physical environment affects the emotional state of the patients who are there to receive care. And the ways in which the physical environment affects the well-being of patients can be, in many cases, profound. This perhaps may be one reason why we bring flowers when we visit somebody in the hospital, right? We're sprucing up with color this quite sterile environment. And the connection between environment and wellness extends to our homes as well. A lot of people tend to dumb down or minimize the impact of living in a well-designed and aesthetically pleasing space precisely because it's easy to underestimate what an aesthetically pleasing space does for our own well-being and, by consequence, our own mental health. Our homes are one of the few places, if not the only place, where we have full creative control. And so something does happen. Some wellness benefits are there to experience when we curate a home that's made for us, that feels like us. Aesthetics do play a role in how we feel. And if we say that they don't, we're lying to ourselves. The colors we use, the mood these colors evoke, the silhouettes and styles of the furniture and other furnishings we put into our home, they matter. They matter because it trickles down into our mood. And if we have children, into our kids' moods, our kids' well-being. So for those of you who are newer to the show, perhaps you don't know me all that well, my story speaks to this perfectly. As a new mother, all the stuff and all the stresses that the stuff put on my life as a new mother, I was already stressed out because I had a newborn and I didn't know what I was doing. But then all the newborn stuff just added another layer of stress. And when I was in my home, I felt stressed. I felt on edge. And so for me, minimalism was a means by which I was able to get my environment with a new baby, my environment being complete chaos, under control. Because when I reduced the amount of stuff my house had, I also, by consequence, reduced my stress. I simultaneously increased my well-being. Ditching unnecessary stuff, I must say, it also did help my marriage because reducing the stuff also reduced family tension around the stuff. About tidiness and cleaning, that all largely, not completely, but largely fell away also. So let me say here and now, aesthetics are important, but are they the most important? We'll get to that in a minute. So that's thought one. You should not have to wait 18 years to be content in your home. But now let's talk about perspective. Remember that parenthood, yes, but even more specific is parenthood with young children. That's a blip in time. It's a very small amount of time when you put your whole life into perspective. If you were to put your life into a book, parenting young children would be a chapter at most, maybe half a chapter, God, maybe two pages. Let's be real. So for those of us dedicated to living intentional lives, you already know, right? We don't put things off for one day. We don't put nice things away for one day. And that's because we are committed to living fully right now. What's happening right now as you're listening to my voice, This is real life. We do not get a redo. We do not get a do-over. This is it. And so if we talk about keeping perspective, it pays to ask. It literally pays to ask us, what's more important? Is it having a pristine show home or is it having happy, well-adjusted kids? And I know some of you are listening right now and you're thinking, both can be true. This is an and statement. You can have a pristine show home and happy, well-adjusted kids. It does not have to be an either-or scenario. I hear that. Both are important. However, humor me for a moment. What's most important? Is it the pristine show home or is it the happy and well-adjusted kids? Is it the relationship you have with your children? You only have 18 years with your children under your roof. So it's smart for each and every one of us to make sure that those 18 years are the best they can be. It's smart to decrease the chances that for 18 years, your children have a cranky and curmudgeonly mother who's always hyper-focused on the aesthetics of the home. Because guess what? Yes, your children do and are picking up on that. JoJo Gaines, we all know JoJo Gaines, right? She verbalized this perfectly in her book. Her book's titled, or the book I'm referencing is titled The Magnolia Story, and I'm going to read her quote. JoJo says, quote, "I realized that my determination to make things perfect meant I was chasing an empty obsession all day long. Nothing was ever going to be perfect the way I had envisioned in my past. Did I want to keep spending my energy on that effort? Or did I want to step out of that obsession and to enjoy my kids, maybe allowing myself to get messy right along with them in the process? I chose the latter, and that made all the difference." End quote. So I love that quote because JoJo Gaines is really speaking to getting perspective, yes, but she's also speaking to lowering expectations. And if you are a longtime listener to this show, you know that lowering my expectations was a great way to ensure that I am pleasantly pleased and surprised nearly all the time. And so when we talk about lowering our expectations with regard to home aesthetics and parenthood, I mean really lower them. I don't want you to plan for the worst, but I kind of do. I am an optimist, and so this advice does go against my ethos. I do not think we moms and dads should wait until our kids move out to have nice things, but I do think we should all be asking ourselves, are we okay if this beautiful $600 lamp gets broken? Because it very likely may get broken or ruined or stained or otherwise destroyed, right? When we have unrealistic expectations, we are increasing the chances that we will be disappointed or frustrated over and over again as long as we live. This is in all instances in life, not just in home decor, in friendships and in relationships, in vacation plans, in anything. I have found that when my expectations are high, I am much more likely to be disappointed with reality. So lower all your expectations in all facets of your life. For me, this is off topic, but for me, in friendships, if I'm your friend, oh my goodness, I am your ride or die friend. I will do anything for you. Literally anything. I will go to jail with you. And for the longest time, I expected my friends to be ride or die friends back. And when they weren't, when they inevitably did not live up to my sky high expectations, I was disappointed and angry. You know what I learned? I learned that I can't change my friends. I can't make them love me or want me in a ride or die capacity. I can't change them, but you know what I can change? I can change my expectations of their behavior. And the second I did that, which was not hard, it was just a perspective shift. Once I did that, my friendships were so much more fulfilling. All right, so lower your expectations, yes. But I have found personally that when I lower my expectations for what I want or hope or expect, while simultaneously raising my awareness of having gratitude for what I already have, that's the special sauce. So lower your expectations while simultaneously raising your levels of gratitude. That is the magic sauce. So I see so much benefit in lowering my expectations and, in some instances, imagining the worst that could happen. I like doing that because it reminds me of the transience of all of it. Yes, our environment shapes our mood, and our mood contributes to our well-being. Yes, that's true. And yes, our environment, in this case, our homes, is indeed important. But here's where perspective and lowering expectations comes into play. Yes, even though it's important in the grand scheme of things, it's not that important. You know what's more important than having a beautiful house full of beautiful stuff? You know what's more important? Your children. Your children's well-being, their happiness, the relationship you formed and cultivated with them. All of that is more important, in my humble opinion, than the aesthetics. So we're going to take our ad break. And when we come back, I've got the practical tips for you. So should you buy a wool rug or should you buy a washable rug? Should you invest in a fancy couch or not? Those practical tips are coming up after our sponsor break. Mother's Day is around the corner and I have the best gift idea for you. Hold on to your hats. It's mylifeinabook.com. Every week, My Life in a Book will send your mom a question via email. They will compile all of your mom or the mom in your life's answers and create a legacy keepsake book. The book becomes something you and future generations can treasure forever. I gave both my mother and my mother-in-law My Life in a Book, and they've already started responding to the prompts. When my mother-in-law received her first prompt, she said, "Oh my goodness, what a thoughtful gift." And that's what we all want, right? We all want to give thoughtful gifts. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code SUSTAINABLE at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day, mylifeinabook.com, and use code SUSTAINABLE for 10% off today. Nothing nurtures the world above better than the soil below, and that's why I am so excited to introduce you to Coast of Maine. Coast of Maine is an organic soil brand that offers a full range of products designed to cover all of your garden and lawn needs. In years past, my vegetable garden, I neglected the soil and I didn't have much yield. If your soil lacks appropriate nutrients for success, your garden may not succeed. And so this year, I am so excited to cultivate the soil before planting the plants with Coast of Maine's organic products. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. So next time you're at your local retailer, look for Coast of Maine products. Get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. coastofmaine.com. If you've been paying attention, you've likely heard something about gut health and why zoning in on your gut health is so darn important. You need EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense. It's a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense because I have a bloating problem, friends. Yes, I do. Inflammation is not my friend. Since taking one capsule a day on an empty stomach with water, I have noticed more energy, improved skin, and here's the big one, reduced bloating. Head to myeq.com and use code SUSTAINABLE for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and so much more. That's myeq.com and use code SUSTAINABLE at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. And we're back. Before the break, we discussed some thoughts, some intangible tips as we seek to answer the question, can we have nice things and children simultaneously. We're now on to that part of the conversation where we get to the more practical tips, the more practical, actionable, I can do, you can do this in 5 minutes or less, action items. So tip number one is to make some spaces in your home off limits. Now, I can already hear some of you spluttering, but as I say that. So table your butts and stay with me for a moment. I know that for some of you, this tip will not work. Perhaps your home is small. Perhaps it's open concept. We'll talk about open concept in a minute. Perhaps there's no extra space that could be off limits to children. If any of that sounds like your situation, no worries. But for the rest of us listening, I stand by my statement, my belief that children do not need free reign of the whole home. They just don't. You are entirely within your rights to make some areas off limits. It is your home. You bought the home. You're paying the mortgage. You're paying the rent. You get to make the rules. Now, I think back to when I brought my dog home. Lucy is her name, when she was a puppy. She's almost 12 years old now, but I remember her puppy days vividly. Did she get free reign of the house? Absolutely not. And that's because she was a puppy and she had not yet demonstrated to me that she understood or she was mature enough to convince me with a reasonable level of confidence that she was able to handle the immense freedom that comes with having free reign of an entire home. So Lucy, for the first, I don't know, I want to say 3 months of her time with us. So we got her when she was 3 months, then for 3 months after that. So she's 6 months old. Up until 6 months old, Lucy stayed in a pen, not a crate. Don't call animal control on me. I'm not an animal abuser. A pen, like a pen where she could walk around. And I'm not saying put your kids in a pen. So do not write to me and say I am a pet and child abuser. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that perhaps it's prudent to shut some doors. Perhaps it's prudent to make some areas off limits. Not every single space in your home has to be a playroom. I'm also not saying that the kids can never step a toe in a room. That's not what I'm saying. Children can certainly go wherever they want. This is not 1960 in which they cannot enter the formal living room. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is perhaps you do. You just have a room or a few rooms in your home in which you discourage children from playing there. So the children can go in. They can sit on the couch, let's say, but they cannot go in with their toys and their art supplies and their paint and the scissors and have a rip-roaring good time. Setting limits in this way is not mean. It's prudent. It's smart parenting. I think a lot of times in 2024, we're all about gentle parenting and unparenting and empathic parenting. And all these parenting schools of thought are good. They're rooted in research and good science. However, I do still think that kids need limits. Kids need limits. There's a line that gets crossed often in which gentle parenting becomes borderless parenting. And I do believe my parenting philosophy is that children need boundaries. In this case, we're talking about physical boundaries. Like, they don't get to play in every corner of every home. Now, what about the open concept trend? You know it. You watch HGTV. The first thing the renovators do, they come in, they take down as many walls as humanly possible. Well, I'll be honest with you. I'll be completely honest. I have never been a fan of the open concept craze. And that's because I like clear demarcation. I like space that has physical barriers like walls, like perhaps even a door to say to adults and children alike, this is the study. This is the kitchen. I do truly believe that open concept homes in which every single wall, door, post, you name it, is removed in the name of openness. I do believe that's a fad. I do believe it will move out eventually. We'll see. But if you're buying a new home or if you're renting a new home, consider whether open concept is the right choice if you have young children. That's a thought there as well for the people who may be moving in a year or 2 years or 5 years. Look at open concept in terms of practicality. Is open concept practical for you? It wasn't for me as a parent with young children, but that's just me. All right, so let's move on. Practical tip number two, do not invest in expensive accessories. Every single interior designer I have ever spoken to on the show has said, do not invest in expensive accessories. Michaelyn Smith was the most recent designer to say, don't invest in expensive accessories. Accessories, there are the rugs, the lamps, the pillows, the artwork, the accents. This stuff is easily replaceable. It's also likely to be trendy. So if it's not by chance ruined by family life, it may be ruined by the passing of time and by the changing of trends. If you are going to spend big money, it should not be on the accessories. Go big on the big pieces of furniture. Go all in on the furniture staples and invest in items that will last. Go also for the timeless styles. Michaelyn did a amazing 100% nailed it, hit the ball out of the park job explaining what are the timeless styles. I'll link to that show in the show notes if you missed it. But remember, your entire home is going to age and wear more beautifully if you make good selections to start with. Wear and tear is inevitable. Whether you have children or not, your items are going to wear and tear. But try to pick furnishings for the big stuff that is going to resist wear and tear as much as possible. Know that, again, nothing is 100% bulletproof. You never know what your kids are going to bring to the table, but invest in quality in the big pieces. Go for darker colors over lighter ones if you can. I know the minimalist aesthetic is all about whites and beiges, but in this instance, in an instance in which young children are in the picture, the minimalist aesthetic may not be conducive to child rearing, or heck, pet rearing, or rearing anything. The white aesthetic might not be the smartest choice. And back to the accessories for a moment. So remember, the accessories we're not spending big money on. The accessories go for washable items over dry cleaned. I'm thinking washable rugs over wool rugs. I'm thinking pillow inserts instead of pillows in which you can't take the pillow out. Washable over dry cleaned, darker colors over lighter ones. In my home, we have a couch. It's a Crate and Barrel couch. It is a timeless style. It is made to last, and boy, has it lasted. We've had it for 8 years. It has a high performance fabric, which means that when my kids spill something on it, and they will, it's very easy to clean. This couch is indestructible, and I'm so happy that we spent good money on it at the outset. And we did spend good money on it. I'm not going to lie. It was an expensive couch. But spending the money up front means that when life happens, when wear and tear happens, the couch does not get destroyed. If we had bought a couch from IKEA, the couch would have been destroyed by now. It would have looked horrible, and perhaps we would have even had to replace it. So perhaps we would have had to buy two couches. Now that brings me to point number two, which is, what if you don't have money to buy and invest in the quality items? Well, let's talk about heirlooms. If you have heirlooms, perhaps you use them. Yes, perhaps you use the heirlooms with the young kids. Oh my goodness. I say this all with the caveat that if the heirloom is a beloved piece of something, if it is a one-of-a-kind item, use it with caution, or perhaps put it in a room. We'll talk about this in a minute. That's off limits. We just talked about off limits rooms, right? Everything else, though, use it. And while you're at it, while you're using it, tell the story of the heirloom. So what is an heirloom? An heirloom in my mind is three things. An heirloom is meaningful, an heirloom is well-made, and an heirloom is free, as in free to you, cost-free. So let's talk about them. Meaningful. When a loved one passes on, at the end of the day, what we have left of the loved one is our memories. Right? We are reminded of these memories and stories through the items, the stuff, the things that they left behind. Memories and stories of our loved ones must be passed down in order to keep our loved ones alive, right? So in my bedroom, I have one of my grandmother's oriental rugs. It was the exact rug that was in her living room when I was a child. And so when I find myself as an almost 40-year-old walking on this rug, I am transported almost back to my own childhood, in which I sat on the same rug with my grandmother and played. She taught me how to knit on that rug, and I know because I have a picture of it. That rug's presence in my home keeps my grandmother at the forefront of my heart and mind, even though she's been gone for 4 years. And so talking about my grandmother with my children, sitting on that same rug with my children, keeps my grandmother alive for me, but also for my children as well. So heirlooms are meaningful, and the meaning, if we're using the heirloom, gets infused into our parenting. That is beautiful stuff, isn't it? All right, heirlooms are also well made. Heirlooms then can withstand roughhousing. We know that heirloom items can withstand a bit of wear and tear because they've already withstood however many decades of wear and tear, right? They're made to last. Do you think that Wayfair table made out of particle board is going to withstand a 2-year-old tornado on roller skates? Oh my God, the things that come to my mind as I'm speaking into this microphone. No, that Wayfair table is not going to be able to withstand a 2-year-old tornado on roller skates. But you know what will withstand that 2-year-old tornado on roller skates? Your grandfather's mahogany dining room set. That likely will. Yeah, we know it will withstand that tornado, and it will likely withstand many future child-related storms. And worse, because it has already withstood so many wear and tear opportunities in its 50 or so years on Earth, right? Heirlooms tend to be well made. And then finally, heirlooms are also free, free for you. So if you're on a budget, perhaps you don't buy that new expensive item, because for me, at least, I tend to be frugal. And if I buy new an item that gets ruined, I'm going to be so much more disappointed than if I spent $0 on an item and it got ruined, right? That's just me. Now, I'll also say too that with regard to heirlooms, they're very likely not coming to you in pristine, perfect, fresh out of the box condition, right? They're coming with, again, a little bit of wear and tear. And so that means then that the stress that you may feel to keep the item pristine is likely lowered, because it's not coming to you perfect. So you don't have to keep it perfect. Now, if you have no heirlooms, thrift stores are about to become your best friend. Items that have made it to thrift stores are very likely quality items, especially in the case of furniture. They're not in the dump precisely because they are made to last. They have life left in them. I'll also say too here, if you listen to Tuesday's episode with Reagan Nelson, we were talking about reducing home toxins. A really great way to reduce the toxins in your home is to accept heirloom and thrifted items. You know why? It's because they've already off-gassed. So all the manufacturing chemicals and finishes and smells on the new items, those items have been long off-gassed when we talk about heirloom and thrifted items. So accepting the stuff that might be a little older, might be a little weathered, may also be a very smart practice from a human health perspective. Now, let's talk for a minute about my daughter's bedroom sets. I've probably mentioned them on the show before, precisely because they are a bane to my existence. When my first daughter was born and we were creating her nursery, I made a big mistake. I went to IKEA and I bought an IKEA crib that turned into an IKEA bed with an IKEA drawer set and an IKEA, a side table, a bed table. What is it called? Bedstand? No, that's not right. It's the little table that goes next to your bed. It'll come to me in like 5 minutes. But anyway, okay, so I bought the set from IKEA. I thought to myself, I'm doing the right thing because I'm Because I don't want to buy a new set from a child. I thought back to when I was a kid. I completely destroyed my bedroom furniture when I was a kid. Destroyed it. So I'm not going to spend a lot of money. This stuff is nice. It's white. It's pristine. It's contemporary. I'm ready for the baby. You know what? 10 years later, that baby is now 10 years old. Her bedroom furniture looks like, I wanted to swear, but then I have to make the episode explicit. So I'm going to say it looks like doo-doo. I do not know that this bedroom set is going to last until the 10-year-old turns 18. The drawers are buckling. The bedside table is woefully scratched. And so, like, scratched to the point where there's nothing we can do about it. The bed is tilted. And so, like, if we're talking about our space affecting our well-being, yes, that's true. And so perhaps these white contemporary bedroom sets that were dirt cheap from IKEA, perhaps at one time they did bring me peace and contentment that I was searching for, but not anymore, because these days, the horribly scratched nightstand, there it is, nightstand, that's the word, the nightstand and the buckling drawers and the tilted bed, all those items that perhaps once improved my well-being from an aesthetic standpoint, these days, these items now cause me stress and regret. And frankly, they aggravate me because these items are trash and I foolishly bought them. And every time I look at these items, I am reminded of my foolishness. So I say all that to say, perhaps some heirlooms get used. Like, use your pieces. Use what's given to you. If you don't have heirlooms, perhaps you go to a thrift store and get quality items instead of buying cheap new junk like I did. And all that said, if you have heirlooms or many heirlooms that you definitely love and you definitely don't want ruined, perhaps you place those heirlooms in an off-limits space. My father recently, hi Dad, if you're listening, my father recently gave me an absolutely drop dead, gorgeous leather chair. Oh my gosh, it's beautiful. It is a timeless reading chair. I'm a short person. I'm like 5'2", and the chair is low enough to the ground that when I read, my feet, the whole bottom of my feet, the soles of my feet rest on the floor. It's a perfect chair for me. I want to keep this chair for the rest of my days on this planet. So I'm not putting this chair in storage because, again, I want to use it. I want to love on it. But I'm also not putting this chair in my daughter's path either. Because no matter how many times I try to teach my children not to use pens on furniture, they still somehow continue to walk around the house with uncapped pens. And you know what the result is. You can picture it in your mind. The result is pen marks on everything. So my dad's chair is upstairs in the guest bedroom at the moment, and it's going to stay there for the foreseeable future until I feel as though the time is right to move it downstairs to the main living area. But that time is not right now. All right, so that was a lot about heirlooms and thrifted stuff. Let's move on to my final tip today, and that, of course, is to see accidents as teachable opportunities. Now, full disclosure, I'm still working on this as a parent. It often seems like I'm talking to the wall when I try to teach my daughters about respecting our shared home. They look at me with eyes that are glossed over. They nod their heads, but I know they're not listening because they go right back to doing what they were doing and playing how they want to play. It is a struggle over here. But even though it's a struggle, that doesn't mean I'm going to throw in the towel. Kids need to learn about being careful and what happens when they're not careful. We cannot shield our children forever from consequences of actions. And so when something breaks or something gets stained, I always suggest, and you've heard me say it till I'm blue in the face, but I'm going to say it again. Let your children experience the natural consequences, the natural and logical consequences, I should say, of their actions. Natural and logical consequences include feeling remorse. They should feel bad if they destroyed something. Letting your kids feel remorse teaches them something. Remorse doesn't feel good. I'm not saying shame. Shame is different from remorse, but letting them feel bad teaches them about how they don't want to feel again and very likely will inform future behavior, right? Just the other day, my children, I found them painting on one of my rugs. They were painting a flower pot on a rug. And I don't know if the paint was washable or not, but that is not something that is allowed in this house. So did I rush over with my wet cloth with soap on it and scrub the rug? Absolutely not. I didn't make that mess. My children made the mess. So I instructed them to go get the cloth and clean up the paint that got on my rug. That's a natural consequence. Cleaning up your own mess is a natural consequence, right? I think it's also important that when accidents happen, yes, we're using accidents as teachable opportunities. We're also talking about our own personal disappointment. Now, I'm not yelling at them. I'm not shaming them, but I am using I statements and I am expressing my disappointment. Oh, I'm feeling really disappointed and sad that you're painting on my grandmother's oriental rug right now. This rug means a lot to me and I don't want to see it ruined. I hope to get many more years of enjoyment out of it as a family. That's just one way, right? Also, let's bring this back around to the beginning of our conversation. If you have shifted your perspective, remember, we already shifted our perspective and lowered our expectations in part one of today's show. Because those two things have already happened, and because you've already done it, you will be better equipped to respond with a nice little pre-planned speech about how disappointed you are and also about how much more important it is to you that the kids learn how to treat stuff with respect. Accidents happen. They are going to happen. And my broken lamp is not as important to me as my relationship with my children. So use the accident as a teachable moment, but don't cross the line into damaging the relationship with your child. This reminds me about, you know, giving your children glass, little like glass cups to drink out of, right? You never know when the right time is. You don't want to give it to them if they're just going to drop it. Oh, it's a stressful time, right? Let's not forget, too, that when we push our kids a little bit developmentally, when we challenge them just slightly, what we're doing is we're building their confidence because we are showing them. We're not telling them. We are showing them with our actions that we believe in them. This is the same as in the classroom. I used to be a teacher. I relate every parenting struggle I have as to what I would do as a teacher, right? As a teacher, I didn't want the work to be too easy or too hard. Just like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, you want the work to be just right. It has to be challenging enough that the student is indeed challenged, but not too challenging that they don't succeed. You want them to be challenged and you want the child to succeed. That's what teachers want. That is teaching in a nutshell. That is good teaching in a nutshell, I should say. Understanding your students to a degree that you are challenging them in that just right, perfect amount. Parenting is the same, isn't it? Parenting is the same. So thinking about those glasses and giving your child a glass, water in a glass instead of water in a sippy cup, right? Ask yourself, is this a challenge that my child can succeed at or not? If you think your child cannot reasonably succeed, then don't give them the challenge. Don't give them the challenge. So for my final word today, this episode went way longer than I was expected, but let's make it a little bit longer. For my final word today, I want you to picture yourself in 20 years. Your children are all moved out. Perhaps they have family of their own. Perhaps you are a grandparent. Your days in your home are quiet because everybody's gone, right? The concerns that you likely have 20 years from now are likely vastly different from the household logistics and aesthetic concerns that you have, that you once had, right? So 20 years from now, are the teeth marks on the corner of your dining room table that your son bit when he was a toddler, are those teeth marks going to stress you out in your old wise years? Or are those teeth marks going to make you smile? Or what about the paint stain on the, I don't know, let's go with the oriental rug, because that actually happened. What about the paint stain on the wood floor in the living room? Are you going to roll your eyes at that paint stain 2 decades from now? Or is that paint stain going to serve as a reminder of what perhaps was the best years of your life? The most chaotic and stressful years, absolutely, but also the best years. I am willing to bet that in 20 years, if you had a magic wand, you would not wipe away all of your home's imperfections. Because when you wipe away the imperfections of your home, you're also wiping away the good times, the memories. I'm willing to bet that you would not wipe away all the evidence of your child's destructions. Because the imperfections is evidence of childhood destruction, yes, but it's also evidence. Hold on to your hats, because here it comes. The evidence of childhood destructions are evidence of a life well lived. Mic drop. Yes, it's evidence of destruction and childhood and all that, but all of it is also evidence of a life well lived. Remember that next time your children ruin something. We will be back for headlines tomorrow. Don't miss headlines, by the way. If this episode was too easy breezy, not deep enough for you, you like more content, you like to think a bit, come back tomorrow for headlines. Make sure you're staying educated and up to date on what's happening environmentally in the world. The environmental news headlines, they do indeed get buried by the news cycle. So make sure you're staying informed. I am running a marathon this weekend, so wish me luck. I've trained hard. I've had some injury-related setbacks, but it is time to see what this almost 40-year-old is made of. Thanks for thinking of me and sending me your positive vibes if you happen to be awake on Saturday morning. See you tomorrow, and take care.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.